welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Morning, everybody. What a great day, eh? Just turn to the person next to you and say, I'm so glad you are here. Cheers, mate. If you're talking to an empty space, then there's probably been no response at all to that. So the challenge is, next week I'm going to fill that empty space. Hallelujah. You're doing good. I'll tell you, Andrea said that she was excited. I'm excited. God's excited. Jesus is excited. The Holy Spirit is excited. Isabel, you got a sweet in? Okay, thought so. Awesome. I just want to, before we kind of get into what God is saying to us today, just thank the guys that came last Sunday night to rewire. It was fun, wasn't it? It was just an opportunity to kind of meet with Jesus and to really see what Jesus does best, which is to heal broken lives and restore people. And I lost count of how many people God healed, to be honest with you. It was a lot, wasn't it? Sorry, I'm just translating it. So right from the outset, just the presence of God was there. And I found over many, many years of being in a room with people that maybe know Jesus, maybe people that don't, is when Jesus comes, it's not just to show off himself. He doesn't just turn up to say, I'm here, woohoo. It's I'm here and I'm going to do something. Rewire was very much like one of those. I think within the first few minutes, two or three people had just been healed very supernaturally. And as they got to share testimony of what Jesus was doing, faith rose in the room, and you could feel it. That's why I love the orange cards. Whether you are convinced that Jesus is alive today and is for you, or whether you think that Jesus is alive today and he's not for you, or whether you don't even know Jesus is alive, Jesus is alive. And the testimony bears witness to that. So it was great. So thank you for giving testimonies. Personally, my conviction is that we were made to be a testimony. Whatever our week has been like, and I know for some of you it's been very extreme in all kinds of ways, but actually it's a testimony that comes out of that. And I love the picture that the Lord showed us a bit earlier in our worship time, which is even though everything around us might fall apart, and although we may let go of all kinds of things, the core of Jesus, who he is and what he does, never lets go of those that have got a hold of him. And I just love that reality, that even if we let go of Jesus, he never, ever lets go of us. Ever. It's just not possible. It's not within the thinking pattern of God. It's not within the ambition of God. It's not within the purpose of God to let go. I just like that, don't you? There's a certain person next to you and say, I like that. Somebody talk to Terry, please. Just talk to Terry because he's sad. Terry, get a friend. Hallelujah. Just to kind of give a little bit more update with this weekend. We just believe, as I mentioned last week, that God is releasing a grace. Grace basically is God comes and does something which we can't do. He also comes and gives us stuff which we don't deserve. That's grace. And in this season, in the autumn, God has really just been moving, speaking, revealing himself as I am the Lord who heals you. And I just love that. You can meet with Jesus in a multitude of ways and still not run out. Jesus is always, 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 always new in terms of how we can meet with him. And I don't know how you've arrived this morning. You might be an inquirer. You might be a doubter. You might be a longer. You might be a desperate. It doesn't really matter. All I know is that this morning, Jesus is going to reveal himself to you in the way that you need him. Because that's Jesus, isn't it? Many, many people came to Jesus and they all received from him according to how they saw him. I mean, looking at that a few weeks ago. But what I just want to, we're going to share some thoughts really on our journey together as we seek to see the healing grace and the healing power of God moving through our lives more and more. So next weekend, coming up in just 5-6 days, yes, Jesus is going to move in tremendous power in Oak Grove School, but for me, that's really not the point. 300, 400, 500, 600 people are going to come and meet with Jesus. Awesome. But for me, that's really not the point either. The point is that healing is going to become very normal in the life of Worthing. It's just that supernatural, God-given, God-inspired, beyond description, beyond compare, beyond experience, that just that sense of Jesus walks into the room of our lives and said, I've come to make you well. And that's kind of what we're longing for, what we're praying for, what we're believing God to do. Is that okay to say that? In other words, some of us, we might have experienced kind of people healing, whatever. We might have come to a healing crusade. That's awesome, great. Thank you, Jesus, for how you use the past. But our longing is for how you do things in the future. Jesus never repeats himself. So we're on a verge, I believe, and we believe as church, of a tremendous grace over Worthing, the surrounding area, the 25-mile radius, where you and I and the church of Christ is mobilized into being a healing force. Hallelujah. That's you and me. And you might be sitting there thinking, well, how can God use me? My answer to that is, why not? He used me in the past. It didn't work. We'll try again and see if it does. John Wimber, he prayed for thousands of people and then once it worked. So he carried on going and suddenly it was there. So don't give up if it doesn't work the first time, because Jesus is faithful and he will do it. In this last few days, as I've just been kind of praying and getting into the word a bit, as I'm sure we all have, is God's been speaking to me out of two particular pieces of the Bible. And one is Psalm 25. And some of that is going to come up on the screen behind me in a moment. And the other part is Matthew 25, which will also appear through the wonders of science and technology and Liz's gifting. Hallelujah. Thank you, Liz. Well, I just want to start with Psalm 25, which is part of our reading program for this last few days. I don't know about you. Has that been helpful? Andrew, has it been helpful? Anybody else, it's been helpful? Just on our journey this year, you know, we're in the ninth month and, you know, maybe we're just getting a little bit like, oh, just a bit of a strain, but we just have to push a little bit and be disciplined. But can I encourage you, don't just get into the Bible, but let the Bible get into you. Don't just get into the Word, but let the Word get into you. Just as a kind of a quick demonstration of how that can help, is when I'm reading the Bible, I don't just read it like that. Because faith doesn't come by reading the Bible. Actually comes by hearing the Bible. So when I'm reading my bit of the Bible, I read it so I can hear it. And then when I'm hearing it, my head is either saying, what? Or my head is saying, yes. Or my head is saying, or my head is saying something. Sometimes all of those at the same time. Sorry, Connie started to pray for me now. Hallelujah. But the point is, I'm a man as well. Who'd have thought it? But when I'm reading the Bible speaks to me using my own language to start with. And as the Bible speaks to me, it begins to challenge the words already running around my head. And when it challenges the words that are going around my head, I can then make a decision, that's it. The Bible uses the word amen. So in this conversation, it doesn't matter really to God that I might start thinking, you're joking, Jesus. That's not right. As long as through the process in my head, it's actually, yeah, you're talking to me. You're talking about people like me. It must be true for me. It is true for me. That is me. You see the transition there. That's not just the Bible that was written 2,000 years ago, but actually this Bible was written for people like me, people that want to follow Jesus. How many of you want to follow Jesus? Then a lot of the Bible talks about you. And this bit in Matthew 25 that we're going to look at in a moment is a tremendously powerful bit, because there's all kinds of things going on just before it, and there's some experiences of God. And it says that the disciples came to Jesus, and Jesus spoke privately to them. That word privately doesn't appear that often in the Gospels. But this sense of is there is something very intimate, very extraordinary, something which is very close, something which isn't for broadcasting to the crowd. This is something that Jesus wants to invest in the hearing of the ones that want to follow him the most. How many of you want to follow him the most? That's why this morning, I love the way that Sarah led us through prayer. Sometimes we want to have a public persona, but without the private encounter with Jesus. What I mean by that is that we can all rock up with our game head on, we can rock up with our Christian face on for a Sunday morning, but Jesus looks into the private areas of our life and says, actually, I want to show something to those. I want there to be a reality between the public and the private. You're still with me here? Awesome. So in Psalm 25, we're just going to dip into two verses there. Liz is now scattering around, her fingers are catching fire on the laptop. Psalm 25 says this in verse 4. Show me your way, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. I love that. Don't you love that? I don't know what God said to you when you read that this week or when you've just seen it on the screen. But what I love about this is just this sense that Jesus wants to show me something which I don't already see. Show me your path. God wants to teach me not just this is the way, walk in it, but also this is how to walk in it. Have you got that? Because sometimes our pathways, they can be up, down, they can be a bit jiggledy, they can be whatever. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God's, my, say my. I just love that little word in the English. It's a little bit longer than that when it was originally written, but it doesn't matter. That word my means I can own the guide. Not in the sense of I have possession, but I can give him possession. Psalm 23, we looked at this before, is the Lord isn't just the shepherd of people. When you give your life to Jesus, he becomes the shepherd of you. The Lord is my shepherd. And what this is reminding you and me of is that Jesus isn't just some holy ordnance survey book that's out there in the world hoping to help people out, but actually he wants to become our personal guide through life. He wants to direct our paths. He wants to lead us into the way of truth. He wants to lead you and me into an open space. He wants to, as we were hearing this one in the prayer, we can stumble sometimes, but he won't let us hit the ground. That's a great kind of walking mate, isn't it? Whatever the mountain is, whatever the valley looks like, however craggy, however dirty, however messy the pathway may look, Jesus walks the pathway with us. And I just suggest this. Actually, Jesus walked the pathway for us and then with us. God doesn't lead you anywhere where he hasn't already been. Because Jesus is everywhere all the time. And I just love that. But there's a longing here. Teach me your way, if you like. Guide me in your path. And in verse 14 is a bit of a clue. And I just want to set the message up in this setting. First one is, God, Jesus, I want to find out more about you. I want to be led much more about you. I want to learn more from you. I want to learn more about you. And then in verse 14, this is tremendously powerful. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant or his promises or his contract or his agreement known to them. This morning, however you know Jesus or not, God wants to tell you a secret. Whatever your experience of Jesus is right now, God wants to tell you something that only he knows. He confides in those. How many of you are in the slightest bit encouraged by that? I think that's kind of cool. Well, loads and loads and loads of times in the Old Testament, it says, you know, you won't know the way until God shows you, or, you know, you can search for God and you'll never find him, but all the time he's looking for you. And I love that message, part of the message from last week, where Andrew just reminded us all that Jesus hides in the open. Well, I think that's kind of cool. We're looking. Actually, Jesus is saying, I'm just here. I'm right in front of you. We're coming into chapter 25 of Matthew. Come on, Liz, you're on it. There's a pay rise for you. Like a car bonnet. Hey, Annie. Jesus is saying this privately to his followers. That's a nice phone. The kingdom is like a man who went on a journey. He called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold. to another two bags, and to another one bag, according to their ability. Now, let's just try and explain this. Jesus didn't give the biggest amount of gold to the smartest person or the stupidest person. He gave the gold to the person that he knew would seek him to find what to do with it. God doesn't give him gold just to smart people. He gives gold to obedient people. First thing. Second thing. When he gives us what he gives us, his passion is to increase your ability and my ability to do more with it at the end than we had at the beginning. You still with me here? Tumbleweed. I can feel tumbleweed happening in the room. Is that when Jesus comes upon your life, when Jesus gives you the Holy Spirit, when Jesus gives you the Word, he is then changing your ability. What you're able to do with who he is. What you're able to do with what he said, and what you're able to do with how he works. Thank God he doesn't leave us the same. Three of us agree with that. The rest of us, we've gone for lunch. Is that Jesus says, no, I'm going to give you this, but I'm going to give it according to your ability. Hurry up. I'm going to give it according to your ability because I want to invest in where you are now, but I'm going to produce someone greater than that in the future. Aren't you thankful that Jesus didn't just say, everybody gets the same? But he was saying, no, I can see, even in this group of people, some of you, man, you're just going to cruise with this. You're going to motor with this. You're going to say, what do I do with it? And I'm going to tell you, and it's going to increase. And we'll read about how it increases in a minute. But I just love this reality when I read this, is that when, without Christ, we're all, let's use this word, disabled. Now, I know what that means, all right? In other words, we don't have the whole ability to do everything that God wants us to do. It's not a physical thing. It's a relational thing. But when we give our lives to Jesus, whatever our ability we think it is, God says, I'm going to invest in that. I'm going to make it grow. I'm going to use that, and it's going to develop, and it's going to become stronger and smarter. It's going to become wiser. I want to invest in you, and here's five bags of gold to show what I mean. Hallelujah. Isn't that cool? I think it's cool. I can remember the very first time I was sharing this the other day at Rewire when, I think I shared it here before, is that when I realized that actually Jesus, who seems to know what he's doing, have you noticed that? He always seems to be right as well, have you noticed that? All right. When he said to me about a week after I gave my life to Jesus, I'm going to use you to heal this thug. Milton Keynes, all right, is known for certain things, or it was then, concrete cows, dinosaurs, full of roundabouts, and everybody kind of went either direction in it. But also, there was a whole youth thing in there, which wasn't very nice, and I was in that. Hallelujah. When I got saved, Jesus didn't recognize what I could do. He recognized what he was going to enable me to do. So when I suddenly realized, actually, yeah, okay, God, you said it. I'm a believer. I trust you. I have no idea what this means anyway. And when this thug came up, bit rude. When this young person, used to be my mate, came up with all his mates and was giving it a lot of large, and I was saying, you know, I've given my life to Jesus. They were saying, I can't even say what they said, all right? Take every thought captive. Hallelujah. And I said, well, lolly, 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 Jesus heals to me. And I said, oh, yeah, bloop, bleep, 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 whatever. And this person had the top couple of joints of his finger missing. He said, well, if Jesus is so great, could he heal my finger? And I said, yes. In Jesus' name be healed. He put his hand in his pockets, went off. He turned around and said, by the way, and his finger had grown back again. It freaked him out. It freaked me out. It freaked everybody out. All right. I was not full of great faith and power at that time, but I recognized at that time that Jesus' word ability was not about what I was able to do. It was about what he was able to do through me. You see, I've got 9 O levels, I've got 4 A levels, I've got a degree, but actually that they don't mean anything compared with God's ability. Do you understand that? In fact, they don't even add up to a stack of beans. What makes the difference is the God-given ability that helps me and helps you to say, I am able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when I read this story, this tremendously intimate moment where Jesus is saying, actually, I believe in you. But if you believe in me, you're going to do something with what I've given you. Now, as we go on to this, kind of unpack the story a little bit, because it is a story, but there's a tremendous analogy here, is I don't know, and you don't know, what the first two people did with their bags of gold. They might have bet it on the Jerusalem Camel Derby or something, for all you know. We have no idea. Doesn't say. Doesn't. Sorry? No, they didn't. They also got the hump. One he gave five bags of gold, to another two bags, another one bag, according to his faith at that time. Then he went on his journey. The man who received five bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained five bags more. But don't know what he did. You don't know what he did. All we know is his ability at that time produced what he did at that time. So also the one with two bags of gold gained two more. We don't know how. But the man who received one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Can I just suggest that that's probably not the right thing to do with it? Mm-hmm. Unless you're going to develop the latest washing, flowing toilet. And that's why he dug a hole in the ground. I have no idea what he was thinking when he did that. Other than fear motivated him. In other words, this particular one, his ability at that time was, if I keep hold of it, I'll keep it. But with the other two, said, if I give it away, I'll get more back. There was something about this third one, and he actually says, no, I was afraid of you. But when we flip back to Psalm 25, and it says there in verse 14, the Lord confides in those who fear him. It's not the right kind of fear. It's the wrong kind of fear. That kind of fear in Psalm 25 verse 14 is more of, I'm in awe of you. You're awesome. You're massive. You're big. You're wonderful. You're creator. You're healer. You are everything. And yet you still consider me. That is amazing. That's what that fear means. The fear in Matthew 25 was, oh my God, what, I can't, I'm going to bury it. And a whistle. And just whistle. Nothing to see here. Can I just suggest that Jesus never leads or invests in fear? He drives it out. We all have the potential ability, let's put it that way, to be afraid. But when you know Jesus, the power of his love sends fear packing out the door. Because love drives out fear, doesn't it? But what we find here is this third person, they were afraid. The man who received one bag of gold came and said, Master, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. Let's put it this way. We all have the capability to be afraid of God. But when you know Christ, he takes fear out so that we have the ability to walk in reverent awe with God. What I love about Jesus is no matter how we come to him, he never says, I'm closed. However we approach Jesus, he never will say, too late, you've missed it. However we come to Jesus, whether it is on the most buoyant day we've had, or it's in the deepest valley that we've ever had a shadow walk through with us, Jesus never says, get away from me, you idiot. However we come to Christ, whether it's in the morning, the afternoon, the evening, on our own, in the workplace, in the home place, in the church place, in the marketplace, Jesus says, if you approach me, I'm going to tell you a secret. I'm going to tell you something that you don't know. Usually, what that means is I've told you the truth about him, and I'll tell you the truth about you. We can feel rubbish. And if you know what I'm talking about, yeah, every hand's up in the room, we'll cast that lying spirit out of you, hallelujah. Is we can approach Jesus and we can think, oh, I failed God. I'll just put your mind to rest, he already knows that. He knows that. But when you approach Christ, he will never say, yes, you failure. What I'd always say is, come on then, I still believe in you. Let's sort it out. Put it right. Get going. The one thing that you are allowed to dig and bury in the ground is where you've done it wrong. It's called forgiveness. Jesus, help me. Yes, that's what my name means. Help me now. That's what I do. And suddenly you find that Jesus takes what made us afraid, digs a hole, buries it, and you'll never see it again. That's cool, isn't it? Because living as a sent people, which is the whole message of this year for Kingdom Faith, sometimes you're just going to get it wrong. Sometimes you could have had a great experience like we've been having in these days on everything. Oh, yeah, my life is brilliant. It's awesome. And Jesus is so wonderful. Let me tell you, he's no different when you feel like snot than he is when you feel like heaven. He is exactly the same today, yesterday, and forever. He never changes. He never changes. Oh, God, where are you? He says, I'm over here. Stop moaning. I don't know where you are. I'm everywhere. The clue is in who I am. I can't find you, but I'm looking for you. Aren't we funny people? Is that, maybe that's just me. I don't know. I'm going to listen to this again because I think I'm just talking to myself. I know there's people in the room. I can see you breathing, but it looks like people have gone out. Let's pull this together with just some thoughts here. Whatever our ability, wherever we are in terms of our potential, Jesus wants to invest in that. To such a degree that he says, to those that have been given more, they will be given much more. Why? Because it's Jesus' heart for you and for me to live in more than enough. It was never Jesus' intention to give you just enough for you. It was his intention to give you more than enough for you. It was a bit of an Australian coming across there. So it's Jesus' intention today, whatever you think your ability is, however fearful you are, is come to Jesus. And we're going to do that as we break bread and have communion in a minute. But hear this resonating in your head. Well done. Say well done. Good. And faithful servant. Now the clue is in the last word. Servant. Can I just suggest this? The more you serve with what you have, the more it will grow. Thank you, Graham. The more you give with what you have, the more it will grow. The more it grows, the more God gives you. The more God gives you, the more you have to serve with. The more you serve, the more it grows. The more it grows, the more that you have. The more that you have, the more Jesus gives you. That is God's economy of scale. It's called living in the Holy Spirit. Woohoo! You've heard of the Holy Spirit, right? Has anybody not heard of the Holy Spirit? Because if you haven't, man, he's knocking on your door right now. And we find that Jesus says, I give you that, but I want to give you more. Just come to me and say, what do I need to do? The Lord confides in, speaks to privately, intimately with those who fear him. Oh my God, oh my God. But, oh my God, you're awesome. You're amazing. Is this making some sense to anybody? I believe we're in a season where the good and the well and the done are going to be impacting community. I don't mean that we just have better this or better that, but we just live closer to Christ. Society can't change itself. That was never God's plan. His plan was his kingdom society changes it. But I just love this kind of phrase. Jesus mentions it a couple of times. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come into your inheritance or into the joy of the Lord, if that's your version. But basically it means this. When you know that you have the approval of Jesus, you're happy. Because your happiness is not based on your potential now success. It's on his potential in you success. They will do even greater things than I've been doing. I think that's pretty good. Don't you? You, me, the church in Worthing, the church in this area, we have a destiny. Because the Lord is confiding in those who fear him, revere him, are in awe of him. What does that mean? Do what he tells them. All right, that's what it means. We have a reverence of God. God is telling the church secrets. He's telling you secrets, how to unlock your family, your marriage, your parenting, your singleness, your married life, your neighbors. He's confiding secrets, but then he's looking at them to say, please don't bury it in the ground. Don't dig a hole and bury it and say, one day my prince will come. Jesus has said, I have come. Well, I'm doing it for a rainy day. I don't know about you, but last night I felt like it was raining inside my house as well as outside. I was going to go and build a boat for Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't save your ability for a rainy day. Serve with it today. Don't wait for tomorrow to have your best prayer time. Have it today. Don't wait till next week. I need to have a word from the Lord. I'll give you a word from the Lord. Repent and get in the Bible. Hallelujah. There's five. Oh, I find it really hard. Yeah, okay. Get over yourself. How hard is it to find a Bible and read it? Well, don't speak to me. I'll speak to you. Come here, I'll speak to you. Let's all stand up, shall we? And as you close your eyes, it does all go dark. I know that, okay? We know that. It's just physics. But I just want you to let these words resonate over your heart and over your head. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Don't look at deserving that, because none of us deserve it in one sense. Certainly not based on who we are and what we've done, but it is part of the grace of God. When Jesus looks at you, he doesn't say, you miserable sinner. Even though he knows that we were. What he says is, come on, just trust in me. I've got a secret to tell you. I've got an investment that I'm looking for a return. The investment is called myself. The investment is called the Holy Spirit. The investment is called my word. The investment is called you're part of the body of Christ. The investment, God has invested lots in our life. Thank you, Jesus, for that. But now he's saying, come on, multiply it. Trust me. Just trust me. Because when you trust me, I multiply it. And when I multiply it, I'm going to pour out more. And when I pour out more, you're going to have even more. So, Father, I want to thank you right now. Everybody under the sound of my voice, your heart is well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I want to thank you that in this moment of time, when we fix our eyes and our expectation on you, Jesus, we recognize we can do nothing. But you have done everything. We recognize we have nothing good, but you are the good that we have. We recognize that we can achieve nothing, but you are our achievement. That's why we can say thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sickness is not a reward for disobedience. Feeling lonely is not a reward for being selfish. Being depressed and oppressed is not a reward for wrongdoing. None of it is. You are our reward, Jesus. You are life, love, power, healing, health, provision, grace, mercy, wellness. That is our reward. And I thank you that as we celebrate once again in a room what you have already done for us when you gave your body and said, this bread, this is my body and I'll give it for you. That's where the investment started to multiply. You broke the bread and multiplied it. You gave it and you multiplied it. They gave out of what they'd experienced and that multiplied, and so on and so on and so on. And for the last 2,000 years, you have multiplied yourself over millions and millions of people up to this point. And you're still saying, well done, good and faithful servant. And I thank you that after supper, you took the cup and said, this is my blood of the new covenant, the new promise, the new guarantee sealed in my blood. And I want to thank you that as we receive the blood, we just reminded that your blood has purchased us. It's paid the ransom. It shouts a loud testimony. It heals every disease and cleanses every sin. It separates the old from the new. It restores our relationship with you. As it was in the beginning, it is today. So I thank you that even through the blood, you're still saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your reward. So Father, I thank you for your healing power to be released right now. Your saving power to be released right now. If that's what we need, you're here to meet every need. If that's what we need today, you're here to meet every need today. I thank you that where we just need some encouragement, you are our encouragement. Where we need some comfort, you are our comfort. Where we need some help, you are our help. Where we need to know what's happening next, you are our guide. When we need to see something tangible, you are our provision. When we just need to be just set in a new destiny, you are our guide and helper. Now I'm going to ask people to respond. I'm going to ask Josh to come and just twiddle something on his banjo in a minute. We do communion lots of different ways, depending on kind of what God is saying. But I just feel in my heart that part of our responding to this is that we're going to need to leave where we are. I don't just mean in terms of where we're standing on the carpet, but we need to leave who we are on the carpet. And when we respond in the grace of God. We respond to God who gives everything to those who deserve nothing. That's you and that's me. If you know Christ, that's you. If you don't know Christ and you want to, come up and have a chat with me. And I'll introduce you to Jesus and show you how he can take your life and give you his in exchange. And he can cancel your debt. He can sort your heartache and your headache out in a moment of time. All you need to do is acknowledge that you need him and he's done everything for you. And you give your life to him and receive his back. And we can do that in a moment. Everybody can respond right now. You might just be thinking, oh, if God really knew me, he wouldn't do all of this. He did really know you and he's still done it all. You might be thinking, actually, I'm okay. Yeah, well, God wants to make you more okay. You might be thinking, actually, I'm having a great time with Jesus, but he wants you to have a greater time with Jesus. That's the point. He invests in where he's taking you, not where you've been. So, Father, I want to thank you for every person in the room. Right now, you're speaking to their hearts, to their heads. Lord, just let them respond in whatever way is right for them towards you. But as you come forward knowing, yeah, God thinks I can do things well. I need his help. But God thinks I can do things well. God thinks I'm all right. God thinks I'm all right. And as I trust him and confide in him and he confides in me, he will teach me his way so I can be a faithful person. Sometimes I make mistakes, but God never does. He's always quick to forgive, the Bible says. Very slow to anger, very quick to forgive, thank God. So maybe whatever your situation is, but when you respond, leave the person that you are right now where that's standing, and when you come back to your chair, he's not there, she's not there. Thank you, Jesus. Take your time. We don't have to do it in rows. Just whenever you're ready, just to respond. You can respond over on the right or over on the left. I think there's two points to respond to. It's just like, yeah, thank you, Jesus, that you've given me God-given abilities. And I want to sow them back. I want to serve. I want to give. Thank you, Jesus. So if you don't know Christ this morning, we can have a chat. Get to know him before you go.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.